Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is in Studio X. He's drawing up the tactics board for us right now as he is locked in, I'm going to assume, on Ghana and Panama. I hope nothing happens while we're in the middle of a break and you got to push a button. Just try to stay with me, Rhino, as best you can. Let me know, though, what's going on in that game. I am interested in it. I am interested in talking some Mississippi State sports with you guys. I appreciate you have joined me. If you want to talk with me, do it on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. And, of course, we're presented by Dossett Big Four over in Tupelo, 47 years of serving the community in North Mississippi. If you're looking for a new car, I got a place for you to go, 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo, Dossett Big Four, or check out their website, DossettBig4.com. We start tonight with baseball. I know baseball is over for Mississippi State. The regular season ends, but the transfer portal never ends. So as you might have guessed, it's been a very busy start to the transfer portal for Mississippi State, now sitting on 5 commitments. Here's what the thing that stands out that I like. As we all know, Jacob Parker, freshman All-American. State has added 2 other freshman All-Americans to this list, and they are some big bats. Brady Christman from Georgia State, I'm sorry. Is it Georgia State or Georgia Southern? I've seen conflicting opinions on this. Georgia Southern. All right, we'll go with that. Big bat for the Eagles this past year, as I mentioned, a freshman All-American, and I mean, 6 foot, 210 pounder, Sun Belt freshman of the year on the season. Hit. Where are the stats here, guys? Hit .384 on the season, 12 home runs. I think he's got a lot to give to Mississippi State. I think he can provide some protection for Jacob Parker in this lineup. And that's one of the things you got to look at in this is you've got Parker, you got to work around him in the lineup. How do you make that work? I think Cressman can do that. The other name to know is Josiah Overbeek, another big guy, 6'4", 230-pounder. This is probably, I'll say possibly, this might be the Ace Reese replacement. This might be the guy who goes to third base for the Bulldogs. Again, a huge power hitter last year. He hit .314 for the Black Knights, 17 home runs, 44 RBI. The number that stands out for me, though, for him, for a power hitter like that, 56 walks to only 41 strikeouts. Slugged .712, on-base percentage of .514. That's an OPS of 1.226. That's really, really impressive. Also got hit 9 times. So what does he do? He gets on base. So that's a very good one for Mississippi State. And then Jake Souders coming to Mississippi State from Samford. Another, you know, potential power guy, you know, in this lineup for Mississippi State. 13 home runs a season ago for Sir Samford. Hit 13 home runs both years, so 26 home runs in 2 years at Samford. Hit .356 last year. Also stole 31 bases in 2 seasons, so maybe provides a little more athleticism. Probably going to be, if I had to guess, maybe your right fielder, maybe your left fielder. I think Parker probably stays in right, put this guy in left, and then with center, I don't know if they're able to go back into the transfer portal or if they want to see if Aiden Teal wants to stick around for another year. I don't know the answer to that question, but probably that's the way it's going to go. And then, you know, when you think about State last year and where they were weak, obviously the bullpen is where that's going to stand out. So they've added 2 pieces there. Zach Russell, who's a guy I like because he's SEC proven. Pitched at South Carolina last year, had an ERA under 3. A guy who has proven he can get outs in the Southeastern Conference. Perfect. Sign me up. And then Carson Fair, who had 10 saves for the Memphis Tigers last year, he would like to try to get that closer role locked down for Mississippi State. I don't know if Jack Bauer is going to, they're going to try to give him a run at closer, and maybe next year he looks at like he can be the Friday night guy, kind of what they did with Landon Sims, hopefully without the injury issues. Or does Bauer go into the starting lineup next year, starting rotation, as maybe your Sunday guy? I don't know the answer to that, but Carson Fair is a good piece to have. So State, when you look at what they've got left to do, got to figure out first base. You know, Blake Beavis, Reed Stallman, gone. Got to get a first baseman in here. Second base, I think Sean James is going to get first crack at that, but it would not hurt to bring in another guy to compete with him. Shortstop, Ryder Woodson, that's locked in. Maybe Overbeek over at third. Malewski, they're trying to get everything wrapped up with him from an NIL standpoint to make sure he's back for another season. I think that's a guy who could have a big season and find his way into a much higher draft position. He was starting to figure it out there at the end of the year, was hitting the ball really, really well. And then in the outfield, Souders on one corner, Parker on the other, and then we'll see about center field if they're able to go into the portal and bring another guy in, or do they like what they have with Teal? Obviously, you've got freshmen to consider. I don't know if there's a guy in the freshman class that can come in on day one and do what Jacob Parker did. I mean, that's asking a lot, but State does have a couple of highly touted guys in there. A guy like Rocco Maniscalco could maybe come in and solidify that middle infield a little bit, maybe play second or short. I don't know if that's the case or not, but we shall see. But I think State's off to a pretty good start to the portal season, you know, with the five guys they've brought in. I think, like I said, they do need to get some more depth. That's one of the things that, you know, was an underrated piece for State this year, in my opinion. Think about how, like, the season played along and the way Blake Beavis came from the bench and had some moments. Vitas Valencias became one of State's most consistent hitters. He didn't start the first two-thirds of the season. Sean James had some big moments off the bench for Mississippi State. You know, I thought that James Nunnally had one of the biggest plays of the season coming off the bench when he had the diving catch against LSU. State's got to have some more guys that like that. They need to get some more depth. They don't need to be relying on freshmen to provide that. That's going to be it, and that's a tough sell. It's a tough sell for State also with the bullpen, right? Think about if you're a pitcher in the portal, you want to get an opportunity to start. Well, here at State, you're not starting over Valinkas or McPherson, and you're probably not going to start over Bauer or Stone, if whoever that Sunday guy is. So you've got to convince guys to come in and take bullpen roles. Now, maybe you find a guy who wants to be the closer, and that's great. But it's tough to tell a guy who, you know, may have been starting at a group of six or start, you know, a younger player from a power four who wants to get that opportunity that, yeah, you can come to Mississippi State and we'll give you a great NIL deal. But right now, all we've got to offer is some midweek stuff, and maybe you can pitch on the weekends in relief. That's a tough sell. So, you know, any guys they bring in, they have to kind of know that. They know they're not going to be starting on Friday and Saturday because that's where Valinkas and McPherson are going to go. And then, like I said, they've still got some pieces to figure out, you know, in the actual starting lineup, you know, starting at first base. We got a text here from Jay in Baltimore. It says, Tanner Allen to first base. We know a judge. Well, Tanner, he played it as a freshman. Yeah, I guess he could go back to first. If we're going to go that route, we'll get Hunter Hines back. You know, that Hunter Hines in this lineup with Jacob Parker in front of him. Oh my gosh. I'm getting excited just thinking about that. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be the case for Mississippi State. I will tell you another name to maybe watch out for is Sullivan Reed. That's the guy. If you said pick a freshman that could be the potential Jacob Parker like player, that's the guy. And assuming he makes it to campus, and I think that he will. But, you know, from Meridian and big-time power potential for this guy. Rated one of the top players in the country coming out of high school. Could he be that guy? Maybe. I think it's unfair to put those expectations on anybody. Parker may just be one of one. But can you have a freshman come in and give you a good year? And, I mean, I'm not asking for 320, 330 with 18 home runs like I got out of Parker. Can I get 280 with 10 to 12 home runs? I'll take that out of a true freshman. What are my thoughts on the other left-hander, Miller? I think he's a big piece for Mississippi State. this upcoming year. Big bullpen piece, maybe a midweek starter kind of guy. I liked everything I saw from him. The guys that State should bring back from a pitching standpoint, and most of the guys who they aren't bringing back are in the portal. Pitzer's in the portal, Foster, Billingsley. We'll see what happens with Maddox Burns. I think he'll probably get drafted. But Voinkus, McPherson, Stone, Bauer, Maddox Miller, Jack Gleason, that's a good start. It's a good start. You need to go get you four or five more guys to put in that bullpen, and you're probably in a pretty good spot with some of the incoming freshmen. You've got a couple of incoming freshmen who could – I don't know if they can give you the same kind of numbers that Miller gave. Miller was so underrated, I thought, this year. Really good pitcher. That's a guy whose future I'm very, very excited for. But Miller, Gleason, Bauer, that's kind of the future there, and then you build around those guys. So, all right. We don't talk a lot of high school recruiting anymore, but Mississippi State had a good weekend on that front, bringing in some top guys, including some of the best players in the state of Mississippi. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Back with you in just a moment.
Hey, folks, I'm Andy.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. We're presented by Dossett Big Four in Tupelo. 47 years, guys. If a car dealership has been open for that long, there's a reason. There's a reason. They know how to take care of their customers. So whether you're, you know, just looking to buy a car, or if you've already bought from them and you want to go back and see their award-winning service department, you're getting decades of experience. You can trust it. Dossett Big Four, 628 South Gloucester in Tupelo, or DossettBig4.com. It's been a while since we've been able to do this, but Rhino, if you would. Been a busy month on the recruiting front for Mississippi State, and the month of June has been a productive one for Jeff Lebby and company. Seven commitments since the calendar turned to June. Now, Let's start with the overhaul here. Let's talk about the big picture. Are any of these guys just can't miss prospect, outstanding difference maker guys that can contribute in year one? I don't know. I would be very surprised. But one thing State has kind of gotten away from the past couple of years, and the thing that made Dan Mullen very successful, is dominating this state in recruiting, getting the best guys as much as you can on a year in year out basis. State needs to get back to that, in my opinion. So pretty good start here with some of these guys. It started on Sunday morning with Aiden Coleman, linebacker out of Louisville, Mississippi, Louisville High School. If Chuck Dunlap, if you're listening, I'll give Louisville credit as one of the dominant programs, not the dominant program in the state, but one of them, one of the top two or three for sure. 6'2", 215-pound linebacker. I mean, I'll just go ahead and tell you, by and large, if you told me you got a defensive player from Louisville, I feel pretty good about their chances of being a good college football player. They know how to play defense in Winston County. Gavonte Pitts, defensive back out of Nashville, East Nashville Magnet School. This is a guy that, you know, again, when you look at the offers, they're not super impressive. This is a guy that, you know, I look at him and I go, okay. I hope he's got, you know, I hope he's got great upside. I hope he this is a good evaluation, because when you tell me that Mississippi State pulls a player in from Nashville, Tennessee, and what are the offers? East Carolina, Memphis, Arkansas State, Charlotte. I mean, I don't get super fired up. I did, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you on that one. That's those two guys. We'll see how they pan out. The two guys I'm excited about. First off, from Winona, an area that's had some good times for Mississippi State lately. Yoshawn Hudson, running back, 5'11", 195, listed as a four-star back on Rivals/On3. State's got two really good running back commitments in this class with him and Christian Alexander, the kid from Tunica. And that comes off of a year prior where they had two really good running back commitments in J.J. Hill and Cooper Crosby. Anthony Tucker is the coach on the Mississippi State campus who has done the best job of earning his money. Has coached good running backs at State. Devon Booth was really good in 2024. Last year, Fluff Bothwell was good, you know, right up until he got hurt. I don't think he was the same quite as much after that. The offensive line played a role in that as well. He's recruited really well since he's gotten to Mississippi State. I'm very pleased with Anthony Tucker. He's the coach. If you said Jeff Leiby is going to lose his job and you can keep one guy, that would probably be the guy I'd want to keep for Mississippi State. I'd like to see the next coach. You've got to keep him on staff. And then maybe I'm just biased. Maybe it's just a Vicksburg thing. But Nash Morgan, a name that should be very familiar to State fans, the Morgan name. All three of the Morgan brothers playing at Mississippi State. Josh, probably the most famous of them. Now he's the head football coach at Warren Central, which is where Nash Morgan plays. He's the quarterback for the Vikings down there, led them to a state championship, will be one of the favorites to repeat this season. And just an outstanding athlete. You know, plays quarterback right now, but will probably make the change to safety when his time comes at Mississippi State. I will say this, and maybe, like I said, maybe I'm overthinking it, or maybe, you know, I'm being unfair to the other guys. But you got to have some guys that just want to wear maroon and white on your roster. And you got to have some guys that, and it helps that they're outstanding football players like Nash Morgan is. This is a kid who I think can help State down the road because he's just a football player. You know, he's playing a position right now because he's the best athlete on the field. But when he gets to the secondary, I think he can be a difference maker for Mississippi State. Again, maybe I'm just biased because I know the family and I'm from Vicksburg, but I'm excited about Nash Morgan at Mississippi State. I think he can be a big-time player for the Bulldogs. Now, look, this class right now, it's ranked 54th in the country. It's ranked 15th in the SEC. The average score is 85.04. Not great. What I will say is this. And it's been like this under Leiby for whatever reason. You know, for years, State was a team under Mullen and really under Moorhead too, and to a certain extent under Leach, that they would fill up the class by kickoff. By the time the first game was kicked off, you had 20 to 25 guys in the class, and then it was just, let's hold on to them. You know, and in Mullen's case, he didn't do a great job of holding on to a lot, especially his top-rated guys. He would have guys get flipped. I thought after year one with Leach, he did a pretty good job. You know, year one, remember MJ Daniels flipped from him on signing day. Malik Nabers flipped on signing day. Nothing you could really do with Nabers when a Louisiana kid, when LSU comes calling at the last minute, that's all you got to have. I always laugh when you look at the pictures of his signing, of his ceremony. He's wearing a maroon tie to sign with LSU. MJ Daniels was, you know, an Ole Miss flip. And, you know, after that, I thought State did a better job of locking that down. Under Leiby, the past 2 years they've been active late in the signing period. Of course, you had the crazy signing day flip of Tyler Lockhart 2 years ago, and then last year, you know, late in the process, Braylon Womack, Micah Nickerson flipped to Mississippi State. They got a couple of other players, you know, T. Crittenden, a little late in the process, flipping him from Florida State. So Leiby, for whatever reason, has found a way to make Mississippi State a player closer to signing day, which was just never the case, you know, the previous decade. So what I would say is when you look at the state of Mississippi this year, and there's some good players in the state this year for sure. You know, three of the top players in the state are defensive linemen. I think that all three of those guys are going to end up playing major college football and in the SEC. I think that, you know, you've got some good offensive linemen in the state this year. I think that, by and large, State will have an opportunity to flip two or three of those guys. I don't know if they'll get any of them. I don't know if they'll get them all. But I think that no matter where they're committed come right now, come in the next week or so, that by the time we get to the season's end, if State has had a successful season and if Jeff Leiby looks like he's going to be the coach in 2027, if he has it, well, then all bets are off. We've got to talk about a totally different coach and things of that nature. But if State can find a way to be a 7-win team or better this year, then I think players are going to maybe be more receptive to Mississippi State. And then again, I think what State does at the end is, and I could be wrong about this, I think what's going on, though, is basically they're letting other schools set the market for NIL, and then they come in at the last minute and they bump up the offers. That's what I think. That's what happened with Womack and Nickerson. And State tried really hard to flip the two JA kids last year who ended up signing with Tennessee. They couldn't seal the deal for whatever reason. Maybe Tennessee was willing to renegotiate or whatever. But that's not a bad strategy, you know. Let the other team set the market and then come in late with a bigger offer. I think most business people who are trying to acquire businesses would tell you that's a great idea. So, and they, that's how you got to look at things nowadays. You got to look at it from a perception point of business and money and acquiring assets. You know, more on Cross in the morning. But if that's the plan for Mississippi State, I'll be interested to see how they show up at the end of the season and if they're able to, you know, get some of these four-star guys that are in the state of Mississippi, but which a few of these guys are in areas traditionally you would think Mississippi State would do really well. Mitchell Turner, number two player in the state. He's from Louisville. Ben Jarvis Shoemaker, who's committed to Ole Miss. He's from Ackerman. Antonio Berry is from Tupelo. These are areas. You know, Tyson Robinson, who's a running back. I don't know if State would want to get a third running back in this class, but he's from Brandon. These are areas where you expect Mississippi State to do a little bit better than they have the past couple of seasons, especially this season. But, again, we'll wait and see on that and see how it all pans out for the Bulldogs at the end. So don't talk a lot of high school recruiting anymore. It's one of those things where I think that if you're getting good offensive and defensive linemen, that's important because it's just so tough to get those guys, especially the top guys out of the portal. Those are the guys that command mega, mega bucks. Not that State couldn't. They were obviously in the discussion last year for Jordan Seaton, but it's just tougher. It'd be easier if you can get some of these guys in from the high school perspective and just keep them on your roster. It's always cheaper to retain, I think, than it is to try to go get new players. That's just the way I look at it. We're going to talk a little more football when we come back. Earlier today on Sports Talk Mississippi, we talked about over-unders for wins. State's number is interesting. I don't know if I agree with it or not. I still, it's June 17th. I still don't have a great feel for where I want to predict this team and what I think they're going to be, mainly because I think they have some question marks that I can't answer until I actually watch them play. But we will talk about that number when we come back and my thoughts on it. So we'll do that in just a minute. Back in a few here on Sports Talk. I'm sorry, here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. Back with you in just a minute.
Google Play and Stitcher.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you've got it.
All aboard!
Back on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Appreciate you guys joining me here on a Wednesday evening. If you want to join the show, do it on the C-Spire text line, 601-879-4395. Our friends at BetMGM. I don't know if they're actually our friends. I don't know anybody that works for BetMGM, but regardless of that, put out some SEC win totals this week, and just a couple of interesting ones. Georgia at 9.5. That feels like really easy money to go over. Texas at 9.5. Probably the same. LSU, 8.5. Feel like it's either going to go way over or not over. I feel like I don't think they're going to win 9. I'll put it that way. They're either going to win 11 or they're going to win 8. Something like that. Ole Miss is at 7.5. That's an interesting number. That's a lot, not a lot of faith in Pete Golding number from Vegas. I don't know how much I agree with that or not. That roster is so good that Golding would have to, even Moorhead won 8 games year one. So down the way a little bit is Mississippi State, tied for last in terms of predicted wins for over under wins, win total 4.5. Kentucky, Mississippi State, Arkansas all sitting at 4.5. I would take Arkansas to go under. And not bat an eyelash. I'll just go ahead and let you know that. Kentucky, I don't know. New coach, a lot of new at Kentucky. I'd probably stay away. And then there's Mississippi State, which, interestingly enough, the over and the under bet are the exact same, minus 115. So that tells you that Vegas feels really strongly about that number. What do I think of it? I said it earlier. I have less of a feel for this. I didn't have a great feel for this team last year. I thought that I think I put them at 4-8. I was really close to being correct, and I was also really close to being very, very wrong. This season, I haven't locked in yet. But this is how I'm looking at it. So to go over, to get to 5 wins. All right, we'll give them ULM and Tennessee Tech. Okay. I think to get to 5 wins, you almost certainly have to give them Minnesota. I don't think if you lose to Minnesota, I don't think you're going 5-4 in the SEC. So 3-0 in non-conference. That's a great start to getting over 4.5. Got to win 4 of your 9 conference games, right? No, I'm sorry. You got to win 2 of your 9 conference games. At South Carolina, Missouri at home, Alabama at home, at LSU, Oklahoma at home, at Texas, Vanderbilt at home, Auburn at home, and then at Ole Miss. So let's just scratch the ones we think that are for sure losses today. We'll scratch out Alabama, at LSU, at Oklahoma, and then at Texas. I won't scratch out the Egg Bowl as a for sure loss. We'll get rid of it in just a second. But we do know that's the Egg Bowl. Some crazier things have happened. The worst Mississippi State team in the last 2 decades went up to Oxford 2 years ago and was in the game deep into the fourth quarter. I don't think State will beat Ole Miss, though. So I will take them off. But I don't put that in the same tier as the other 4 games that I mentioned. So I got to get 2 wins from this group. At South Carolina, Missouri, Vanderbilt at home, Auburn at home. Can you go 2-2 in that? That's 5-7. Now, never mind that 5-7 opens a whole new can of worms of do you keep Lebby from 5-7? I wouldn't. We're simply just talking in terms of getting the over on over under here. I tend to think State could go 2-2 in that. I tend to think that. I think at South Carolina will be very tough. Missouri being a night game could happen. Vanderbilt's going to be starting a true freshman quarterback. I just have to think they're going to regress a little bit. Auburn, I'm not huge on Auburn this year. If you've listened to Thunder and Lightning, the podcast, I've talked about that. I said that I have Auburn at 5-7 on the season. I'm just not super high on them this upcoming season. So can State win 2 of those games? I think so, for sure. Now it's the next question. I think they can get over 4.5. Can they win enough games that you feel good about Jeff Lebby's tenure at Mississippi State? And what is that number? Is it 6? I don't think it's 6. 6-6, Mississippi State, people are just like, what are they doing? And I've said this before, and I will continue to say it, and I will not deviate from it, and I will not be talked out of it. If we live in a world where Kurt Cignetti can go to Indiana and in 2 years win a national title, then we can live in a world where Jeff Lebby can go to Mississippi State and in 3 years win 8 games and make that be his expectation level. If I can't make that my expectation level after 3 seasons, then I don't have the right guy. Simple as that. 8 wins will be exceedingly difficult. You've got to go 3-0 and win 5 of your 9 SEC games. And we already said we don't think State's going to beat Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma, and Texas, so you got to win the other 5. You got to win at South Carolina, Missouri, Vanderbilt, Auburn, and at Ole Miss. Now, look, if they do that, unbelievable. 8-4, you feel great about Jeff Lebby going forward, going into next season. That's an incredibly difficult task. I mean, I would not sit here and predict that as we sit here today. I would not. That's going to be really, really hard to do. 7 wins, even if I take Ole Miss out, which is a game like, again, I don't think State's going to win here. They've got to go undefeated the other games. They got to win at South Carolina, Missouri, Vanderbilt, and Auburn. That's to get to 7, right? No, I said Missouri, yeah. South Carolina, Missouri, Vanderbilt, Auburn. Oh, am I wrong? Yeah, that would be 7. That's 4 wins in the conference, 4-5 in the conference, and 3-0 in the non-conference. At 7-5, I at least feel like things are moving in the right direction. And I'm willing to look at it and go, okay, next year, maybe you can get to 9 wins. Maybe. With another year of Kamara. I don't know. Am I being unfair in my expectations? I don't think that I am. It can't be unfair. I can't be asking too much of Jeff Lebby after three full, it is your third full season, to just be a top 25 team. If I'm asking too much of Lebby at that point, what are we doing? What are you paying him for? I'm not going crazy by saying Jeff Lebby in his third season, his third full recruiting class, his third full transfer class, he's made some changes on the coaching staff. This should be 8 wins. And yeah, I know it's going to be super difficult, but that's what they pay you for. That's what the money's for. You are what? 10 minutes away from being, you were what? A few minutes away from Tennessee, a few minutes away from Texas, and if you don't throw an interception against Florida, you're at 8 wins last year, and we're having a totally different conversation about Jeff Lebby and Mississippi State. We're talking about Jeff Lebby and Mississippi State as being one of the hot teams in the country. They'd probably be ranked. It's just not an unfair expectation. And if anybody tells you that it is, I want you to look them in the eye and tell them that they're wrong. They're wrong. And look, there's a difference between an expectation and a prediction and what you think. All right, do I think State's going to win 8 games? Would I predict that? No, I would not. But it is absolutely fair for me to expect that Jeff Lebby is able to do that. I know that maybe that doesn't sound like it makes sense, but in my brain it does. I don't know about y'all's. Aren't at a plus if they can average 30 plus points a game. I mean, what did they average last year? Let me see the numbers. And yes, I understand that, you know, it's skewed by the fact that they put up 60 plus on Alcorn, and they scored, you know, 30 plus on Northern Illinois and Southern Mississippi. But State last season averaged right at 30 points per game, right? Get the old trusty the Thunder and Lightning branded calculator out. I don't know if it is or not, but yeah, they averaged 30.4 points per game last year. Only were held to single digits once, and that was against a really good Texas A&M team. Put 38 on the board on Texas, put 34 on the board on Tennessee, put 38 on Arkansas. Yeah, 21 on Georgia is a little misleading because there were some late scores there. But offensively, they were good enough. I mean, in reality, offensively, they were good enough to probably win 8 or 9 games. Defensive was where the problem was, because they gave up, you'll never guess, that many points per game, 30.3 points per game. And that is really skewed because the first four games, 17, 20, 0, and 10, that's your first four games. You're giving up 30, 47 divided by 4. You're giving up 12 points per game. Then it's 41, 31, 23, 45, 35, 41, 49, 38, 43. Once they started playing, you know, big-time teams, it fell apart on them. Got to be better. But yes, you're correct. Arnett is a big plus for Mississippi State, a huge plus. I think if he had been here last year, we were talking about State, again, a lot differently. We'll see. I like I said, though, I refuse to temper my expectation on this. I refuse. If Cignetti can win a national title in 2 seasons, Jeff Lebby can be a top 25 team in 3 seasons. And if you don't believe that, well, we just got different expectations, different levels of belief in what Mississippi State football should be. We'll finish it up when we come back. Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Man.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Let's wrap things up here with you on a Wednesday evening. Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi, presented by Dossett Big Four. Rhino has not missed a beat, although he has been locked in on Ghana versus Panama.
That's correct.
Okay. Big one tonight, obviously. You know, the big one today was England and Croatia, but I mean, I'll be watching Uzbekistan and Colombia. Don't think that I won't be. You said you've watched every minute?
Every minute, if not live, I've watched it on replay.
That's outstanding. I'm doing the best I can. You know, there are sometimes I can't. I'm doing podcasts or whatever, but I've had almost every game up. So I've seen at least a moment of every game thus far, so that's been a lot of fun.
I'm averaging 3.5 hours of sleep a night.
Okay. Well, you do what you got to do. Are there any games? You know, Palmer Home Radiothon is July 16th. Do we have any other games scheduled for that day?
I have tried to avoid jinxing it to be a little superstitious, so I haven't double-checked that far out.
Well, you're going to make me do it. So, all right, here. Let's do this. They just got the group stage, and then... All right, here we go. July 4th, July 11th. July... Nope, you're good. The semifinals are the 14th and the 15th, and then the finals are the 18th and the 19th. You're good. Good stuff. Good stuff. So before we get out of here tonight, I'd like you guys to just indulge me for a second. I'm going to talk about something a little bit personal, but my good friend Paul Jones, who manages the Mississippi State On 3 site, has been suffering from some health issues lately. He's in the hospital currently. I believe that he is struggling right now. And I just want to, if you guys are the praying type, I'm not going to ask you. If you're not, whatever you want to do. But if you would, please keep his family and keep him in your prayers right now. He is a really good man, a good friend, a good reporter, and a father, a grandfather. And I want to see him back this football season in the press box with me, making all with that dry sense of humor of his. Hopefully he's going to be okay. So, Paul, I want to let you know that for me and my family, we're saying prayers for you. And I hope from all of us here at the Super Talk family and all of our listeners that I can say the same. So, Paul, please get better soon. We want to see you back doing the things that we know you're the best at, and that's covering Mississippi State sports and being up there with us in the press box enjoying another football season. So we're thinking about you, Paul, and your lovely wife and your kids. I want to thank you guys. Hope let you guys know that we're thinking about you right now. Don't like to do that too often. Don't try not to go down the personal road with you guys too often. But I thought that one deserved a mention. I saw that State's expecting another commitment from baseball, but that's been a couple of hours now and nothing has popped up. So I don't know if that's O'Connor is he'll tweet every now and then Diamond Dogs plus one or something and let you know that a commitment's coming. That happened earlier today. I want to say, let me double check that, but. Still, to my knowledge, that has not broken. They tweeted 4 hours ago, Diamond Dogs plus one, but there has not been anything come out yet. So waiting on that to happen. We'll see what happens down the road for that one, but may have something else to talk about later. Thunder and Lightning podcast tomorrow. We've been talking about it a lot. This is we are 12 weeks away from the start of the season. If you're a longtime listener to the podcast, you know that we like to do opponent previews 12 weeks out. We do a preview a week. We start at the end so that when we get to week one, we're previewing week one. And it's worked out well for us in the past. What that means, though, is it's time to talk about the Egg Bowl. So Michael Borky was kind enough to join me. We'll talk a good bit about the Egg Bowl, and then myself and Carlo Barone give our thoughts on what has to happen for Mississippi State to break this. It's not a streak because there's a win in the middle, but it's the biggest stretch of Ole Miss dominance in this rivalry since the mid-80s. They've won five of the last six. They will be favored to win six out of the last seven. So how does Mississippi State break that jinx? What do they have to do to – jinx isn't the right word, but how do they break that streak? What can they do? Can they do it? We talk about that on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast, so I certainly hope that you will tune in. And, of course, wherever you get podcasts, Thunder and Lightning, the Rebel Report, the Eagle Hour, and the Sports Talk Mississippi podcast. It's all available. It's all no charge. You get everything. At Sports Talk Mississippi, you get it commercial free. I mean, we are literally not charging you one thing. So listen to that. So go check that out if you haven't already. I'm kind of running out of stuff to talk about. It's June. We are 100% into the off season though. There's no question about that, and you know, we are a month and 3-4 days away from the start of SEC Media Days. So we you know, it's not that far away, but at the same time, you know that it is. So we'll get through it together as we always have. Appreciate you guys tuning in here on a Wednesday night. You have a lot of options for your Wednesday night radio needs. We appreciate you making Thunder and Lightning your broadcast of choice. Talk to you guys again very soon. Be on Sports Talk Mississippi tomorrow. And, of course, Thunder and Lightning podcast will be up wherever you guys get podcasts. For Rhino, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.